But right now, we don't have those guarantees. So the issue of consolidated access is still an issue for us, and it's not in these goals, and I think it needs to be.
Dave Gaisel.
I support Dr. Pierce's motion. I think basically this is a discussion about the heart and soul of this amendment. Are we going to, you know, there's been a sizable number of people on this council from day one that wanted Amendment 18 thrown out the window. And there's an equally sizable number of people who think it's absolutely critical. And my 9 years on the council, one of the things that's irritated me the most has been that our goals have, by and large, been mom and apple pie and ice cream. They've been so fuzzy and so useless that you could get anything you wanted out of them. And that's what I see that first set as. You can make that into anything you want, and that's exactly why it's been written that way. This set is much more specific. It gets at the issues that are at the heart and soul of this amendment. There are, as Chad presented this morning, if that didn't wake everybody up as to what's going on here and what kind of rent's being extracted out of the people that actively fish, then I don't know how to wake you up. I mean, I'll hit you with a shovel if you want. And when I say, did that hurt, and you say yes, I'll say, good, now I have your attention. But this is a critical vote. If we go with the original goals as put up there by the committee, as far as I'm concerned, Amendment 18 is a waste of your time. If we go with these goals, we can at least task the PDT with exploring a number of solutions to keep this from getting out of hand. So with that said, however, after the debate ends, I'll say it again so I don't have to get the microphone again. I'm going to request a roll call vote on this motion to substitute, because I think it's imperative that the American public know how you voted.
Peter Kendall.
Thank you. It's tough going after what Dave just said, because I agree with Dave, but I also agree with Tom in that to me, these are, you know, the underlying motion was, it gets at a lot of these. And this, to me, this is a little bit too specific. And to address what John's concerns about accumulation caps, I mean, that's going to follow in another motion. And I don't know if it needs to be in the goals. We do address it. And we did it at the Groundfish Committee. So, to me, it just seems that the first motion talks about promoting and enhancing and, you know, redeveloping the industry, where this is a lot of control. This, to me, is almost a little bit too much control with impeding, and, you know, I understand, but this is a little bit too specific for me in this motion. So I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say.
Got Terry Stockwell, then Mark Alexander, then Doug Grout.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly follow up PK. And for the council's information, the committee made four PDT tasking motions, which I was going to summarize at the end of this discussion. But for this conversation, one of them is develop an option for 5% permit ownership caps, with the exception of permit banks. We just didn't have the ability last week to accommodate that. We did task PDT for to think through it and to incorporate, and it's the intent of the committee to incorporate it into the document during the development.
Mark Alexander.
I agree that the notion of ownership caps should be explicitly stated in the goals. Chad made a very astute observation when he gave his presentation earlier. He said trade is a good thing for everybody, as long as it's a competitive market. Everybody profits as long as there is no concentration of the quota among a small number of people. And I also agree with Tom. There does have to be a change, but it can't occur in a negative and irreversible way. I My only reservation with this is I think this notion of the motion to substitute would be probably more supportable if it was a motion to amend. I do like the kind of forward-looking elements of the advisory panel's motion. So.
Doug Grout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do want to first of all commend the efforts of the Groundfish Advisory Panel for trying to put together some positive motions here. However, I too am concerned about the aspect that was taken out, and that is one of the main things that was came out of scoping is that we need to have some control on excessive shares and access privileges. And because of that, as those goals are written, I can't support the underlying goals. I can't support, and I am going to support this motion as I think it includes some of the things that we need to have put into this amendment, at least for consideration and analysis. It gives us the goals and the framework that we need to do to move forward with this amendment. Thank you.
Okay. I have David Pierce, Rick Robbins, Vince Balzano, Laura Ramsden, John Quinn, and Dave Preble after that. So we'll start with Dr.
Yeah,
Pierce.
Indeed, we need to be forward-looking. And that's why I made the motion that's on the board to substitute. I don't believe the original motion is forward-looking. It's pretty much status quo. Status quo and back away from any consideration of consolidation limits or dealing with accumulation limits. Now, I can say that with great confidence because of the nature of the Groundfish Advisory Panel votes that we have not gone over, but they were mentioned in one of the presentations. I think it was by Rachel. The advisory panel, how it's constituted, they make it very clear how they want to move sector management forward. And that I disagree with that approach. It's not forward-looking. Many of the elements of this motion to substitute have originated from thoughtful consideration of the situation by the plan development team. Again, in Rachel's presentation, which she had to go through rather quickly because of a limit on our time, she highlights some of the PDT thinking. I don't subscribe to all of that thinking. This is a bit of a hybrid in terms of using some of their concerns and ideas and my own to deal with my principal concerns about how we need to move forward in a positive way to deal with the future. And that's the issue as far as I'm concerned. It's dealing with the future, not just tomorrow or 2 years or 3 years, 4 years into the future, because this is going to have Amendment 18 profound implications for New England groundfish management when I'm long and gone from this council meeting, and I know that may not be in the distant future. We've got to look really well into the future, and this would enable us to do that. I appreciate the concerns expressed by members of the industry right now, those in sectors, those of the sector leadership who are so fearful of their current situation and the situation of many of their members. The low ACLs are having a tremendous effect on the groundfish fishery. We have a groundfish fishery failure, May 1. We have a failure, a disaster. They're dealing with that. And they're trying to, therefore, preserve every opportunity to move fish around to benefit those who are active, those who are in sectors, and, of course, those who are not active, as obvious in the presentations this morning. So I appreciate their concern. I'm sensitive to their concerns. They're still standing, and I want them to still stand. But I've got to look forward into the future. And to be consistent with our past council positions, and John Bull has already stated it, NOAA Fisheries catch share policy is very explicit with regard to consolidation and excessive shares, the need to address it. It's national standard, of course, carried forward in the guidelines and made very clear in that policy, this national catch share policy of NOAA Fisheries. It will be difficult, of course, to follow through with this amendment and to come up with strategies that would enable us to achieve the goals. Terry is right. There are other motions that this council will be hearing and then addressing after this one. One being approaches that have been used throughout this nation, in Canada and elsewhere, to deal with the issue of excessive shares and consolidation. There's the Environmental Defense Fund report that doesn't promote any specific approach. They just want us to see that there are approaches to be used, and if this council approves this later committee motion, the plan development team will review those strategies for us to then look at to see if it will enable us to achieve these particular, to pursue these particular goals. Let's see, I had another point, but I'll stop there. I'm convinced this is the right way to go. I'm convinced that this is forward-looking. I'm convinced that if we go with the original motion, we will abdicate our council responsibility for fisheries management, ground fish fisheries management, to the fishing industry itself through the sectors. And that's an abdication we should not subscribe to.
Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to comment on this. I think dealing with this question of consolidation and or excessive shares is a complex question in any allocated fishery. You know, and I think just reflecting on the experience that we've had in the surf clam fishery in the mid-Atlantic, we're now several years into a process that has frankly been bogged down in a highly technical amendment trying to define what constitutes an excessive share. And in that case, ownership is one issue, control is another, and trying to understand that requires a certain amount of transparency in order to understand what type of activities are going on in the ownership, use, contracting, et cetera, of that quota. And that's something that we're working on now through an action with the regional office to require a data collection protocol, just to try to get at an adequate level of transparency so that we can understand and begin to define what sort of approaches we might take to that. But the point of that is that dealing with this question, in that case, we're more than 20 years post hoc after the plan was developed. It's incredibly difficult in that type of situation. The industry is already highly consolidated. So if consolidation specifically is a concern for this FMP, I would suggest, as I have before, that that's best taken up early rather than later, because it becomes incredibly difficult to undo anything down the road. So I did want to say I really appreciate what the committee and the council have done to try to specify social and economic objectives in this action, and I see that at work also in the underlying motion. That is putting specifically in there concerns about fleet diversity, et cetera. It's not clear exactly what tools you might use to achieve those objectives down the road, but I think it's important to define those objectives as explicitly as possible up front in this, and I think those are important. But I just highlight the concern because it has been very difficult for us to deal with it in that other fishery. Thank you.
Vince Mesa, I can't speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is tough stuff. And I'm sitting here listening to everybody, and I can see both sides of the coin here. But then I think of the status of the groundfish fishery. And although the amended motion is admirable goals, how realistic is it? When you talk about excessive shares, you talk about percentages of the catch. And when you look at our incredibly low ACLs that have just been allocated, if you reduce to percentages, you're going to inhibit anybody's ability to function in the groundfish fishery. So I do like to look forward, but also I'm looking at the short-term survivability of this fishery. So because of that, I will not support the amended motion, and I'll support the AP motion that was confirmed by the Groundfish Committee. Thank you.
Laura Ramsden.
I'll be brief. I'm not supporting the motion, but I did want to state that we are a fourth-generation fish company, much like the fourth-generation fishing family that spoke earlier, and we believe strongly in the importance of having a diverse fleet in order to provide a steady supply of U.S. caught seafood 52 weeks a year. So we need the smaller boats and the bigger boats, the day boats and the larger trawlers in order to provide that to our customers across the country. So I'm not supporting this, not because I don't think that fleet diversity is important, but because I look at things like unfairly disadvantaged crew. How do we measure that? It's not, as Maggie said, to try to implement this. We could bog this amendment down for years trying to figure out how to define what's in these goals and end up hurting everyone in the process. So I think that the broader goals are more achievable, and it's more likely that we can have some mechanics within those goals to look at things like excessive shares and caps. And finally, as I look at 1, 2, and 3 and the beginning of 4, I think, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if the agency thought this way as they were deciding ACLs for the fishermen? Because certainly with our double and triple buffering that we have going on and our extremely conservative approach to allocating ACLs, or ACE, or however we want to refer to it, that is what is unfairly disadvantaging crews and small vessels. So if perhaps we could be a little more focused on putting more fish on the table without damaging the resource, we wouldn't have these issues that are staring at us right now. Thank you.
John Quinn.
Thank you. And like Vince, I'm torn on this one, but I will be supporting the Dr. Pierce's amendment. I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to harken back to the days of a mom-and-pop operation and running on a living off of one permit. But what scares the hell out of me is what I really think this may be heading to, which is the corporatization of the fishing industry. And then there will be none of us here participating. I see that this could potentially lead to, you know, buying and selling on the stock market. And while I'm very cognizant that efficiencies and multiple permits, like Richie Canastra said, you need 12 to run a boat, I appreciate that. But we should really strive for a middle ground where we appreciate and encourage efficiencies, but at the same time make sure we have enough of a backstop that this industry does not get totally vertically integrated and none of us will be here.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that PK nailed it, and Laura nailed it even harder in the first part of what she said. I wish I could support this, but the problem I have with it is that it involves too much control over market forces, and it makes it very difficult to figure out what to do when you've got words like equitable opportunities, unfairly disadvantaged crew. What's unfairly disadvantaged? I mean, you can interpret this anywhere from the hard right to Karl Marx. It's just, you can't nail this down. There's no, I don't know what these things mean, to the detriment of, impede competition. There are too many words here that are too loose. And I really fear the control of market forces. That always has a bad end. Thank you.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This motion, Dave just kind of stole some of my thunder, but it goes too far down into the weeds for me. It's steeped in government oversight, management control, prevention of a lot of things that, as previous speakers have said, are hard to define or in the eye of the beholder. So I can't support this motion, but I do appreciate the concerns that have been expressed about the accumulation limits and consolidation. It seems to me that with this motion fails, it's some wordsmithing of the original motion to include some words that will link back into the scoping process and sentiments that have been expressed by the council before could probably provide a way forward. Thank you.
Terry Alexander.
I just kind of wanted to address Quinn's concerns about corporatization of the fishery. Every sector has a board of directors and we all have to vote on people that enter our sector. So if a corporation comes in and says, well, I want to buy Rip Cunningham's permit, and that has to go out to the sector, and we get to match the bona fide offer, and then we have to accept them as a as a member of our sector. So, I mean, if that sector doesn't want to take a corporate interest, they don't have to take a corporate interest. So, I mean, there are safeguards for that. So, just
Matt McKenzie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I second this motion, and I agree with this motion. I'll be supporting this motion. I share Quinn's concerns about this, and I don't feel it gets us down into the weeds. We're trying to lay out and make a clear message about how we seek to manage the fishery moving forward. What concerns me about consolidation is it stifles innovation at a time when we need innovation in this fishery. The 20th century is filled of examples where individual fishermen working their boats have come up with new ways to do things better, faster, cheaper, cleaner. And I feel that if we start consolidating, we lose that innovation. We lose that creativity. We lose the guy on the boat trying to figure out ways to do things better. I support this motion. I'll be voting in favor of it. Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I just wanted to reiterate that I don't see any conflict between supporting the underlying motion and the goals identified by the AP and the committee and also supporting the consideration of a diverse range of accumulation caps. Those aren't, in my mind, at all in conflict. In fact, the maker and seconder of a follow-up motion to actually get at developing an accumulation cap supported the goals as the underlying motion has them written. So I don't actually think that opposing this motion in any way, it demonstrates an opposition to the full consideration of different types of ways to cap accumulation. Those things are somewhat second. What we're talking about is the articulation of goals for the amendment. I actually do support the consideration of a full range of diverse ways to get at accumulation caps. I think that has to be in this action. In fact, we started that at our committee meeting. That motion will come up, and we'll vote for that. New alternatives, different ways to get at that, could be addressed today or at subsequent meetings as this amendment develops. So I just want, for people who have concerns to say, well, I can't support this because I support accumulation caps. For me, those aren't directly in conflict. I support the underlying motion and the consideration of accumulation caps. Thank you.
John Quinn.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Alexander's remarks about Quinn and McKenzie's remarks about Quinn. I appreciate it, and as I said at the beginning of the remarks, I'm torn on this. I came up here early the other day, heard a tremendous presentation on the sectors, but at the end of the day, it might not be something that happens tomorrow, might be a year or 5 years from now. I'm deathly afraid of this industry turning into just a vertically integrated, bought and sold commodity that none of us involved in it. What I didn't say in my first remarks as well, and I wanted to concur with many other people, is, and I love Dr. Pierce, but maybe we could do a little wordsmithing to tone down some of the underlying thoughts that I'm reading into this. I know Vito mentioned it, and you know, some of this language is rather strong, which I think could be crafted or smoothed over a little bit to make it a little bit less, shall we say, accusatory. So I'd be happy to work with crafting it if this thing passed, but I just wanted to raise that. I think that's some of the pushback, is it's a little bit confrontational to some people. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'm going to turn to Gene Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I should have probably brought this up earlier. This past week, I received a letter from Scott Lang in which he raises a question about whether Tom Dempsey should recuse himself from voting on groundfish measures because of his employment with the Cape Cod Hook Association. And I've talked to Tom about it. And in light of his financial disclosure statements and preliminary information that I received, I do not believe that Tom's position with the association and the association's holdings and permit allocations, et cetera, rise to the level that presents a conflict of interest problem. And in addition, this kind of vote is not a final agency action or final council action to recommend submitting a measure to the agency for review, and thus is not the appropriate time, is not a time when a council member must recuse himself from voting. Council members, even if they have conflicts of interest, can vote at committees and on preliminary matters as long as they're not final votes. Now, I'm raising this because the regulations require me to raise it whenever there's been an inquiry and a request for a determination as to whether a council member is in violation of the conflict of interest statutory and regulatory measures. As I said, I don't think there's any problem with Tom voting at this council meeting for the reasons that I just stated. I will be looking into this further to more formally respond to Mr. Lang's letter, but at this time my determination is that Tom would not be in conflict of interest, even if this was an action that would require him to recuse himself if there was a conflict of interest. And with your permission, Rip, I would ask Tom if he would like to speak to this issue, that he may be allowed to do so before the vote.
Tom.
Thanks, Gene and Rip. I think since I've been appointed, I've taken time, as we all have, to understand the conflict of interest rules in terms of our participation in votes. I understand them. I follow them. I appreciate former Mayor Lang's interest. But having looked at this a number of different ways long before these votes, the organization I work for doesn't hold an ownership position in any fishery in aggregate or by individual stock that would prevent me from taking part in these votes. So I've talked about it with Gene, and again, I'm glad we can all talk about it openly. I know that we all work hard to understand those rules and follow them. So thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to call the question. It's a roll call vote.
Roll call vote has been requested. Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mark Alexander?
Yes.
Terry Alexander?
No.
Vincent Balzano?
No.
Frank Blount?
No.
John Bullard?
Yes.
Tom Dempsey?
No.
Mark Gibson?
No.
David Gaethel?
Yes.
Doug Grout?
Yes.
Peter Kendall?
No.
Matt McKenzie?
Yes.
David Pierce?
Yes.
Dave Preble?
No.
John Quinn?
Yes.
Laura Ramsden?
No.
Terry Stockwell?
No.
Mary Beth Tooley?
No.
The motion fails, 7 aye and 10 nay.
We're back on the main motion, Doug. I'm going to go to John first, and then Doug, and then David.
Rip, I supported the amendment, although I had a number of the concerns expressed by those in opposition. I wonder, and I agree that the goals have an advantage of being positive in general. And I wonder whether... in the first number one in the first goal, where it talks about promote a diverse ground fishery, including different gear types, vessel sizes, geographic locations. I'm not sure I'm the best person to make an amendment, but whether you could just include ownership patterns in that list. You know, different gear types, vessel sizes, ownership patterns. That just introduces the concept in a general way, which, I mean, the advantage of this in goals is it's general, which goals should be.
Is that a motion, sir?
Am I allowed to make motions?
You are a member of the council. You can certainly do that.
Well, I'd move to amend to add after vessel sizes, ownership patterns.
Is there a second to that? Mark Gibson. Discussion. Seeing David Pierce.
Appreciate John's suggestion. I'm agreeing with him to some extent. It does bring us in the right direction, but I don't think it's clear enough with regard to controlling excessive accumulation or control of fishing privileges. The intent is not clear enough, so that's why I will not support the motion. Tempted to, but it's too nebulous.
Anyone else? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion to amend? 13 in favor. Opposed? 4 opposed. Abstention? None. 1. Okay. 13 to 4, the motion to amend carries. We're back on the main motion. David, I had Doug Grout first and then David Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I supported the last amendment to the motion because I did want to get some, at least have the opportunity of getting some general concept of what we're trying to get at here. But I agree with Dr. Pierce that it doesn't go quite far enough in the goals. And so I would like to make a motion to amend to add another goal that I think will get directly at what we're looking at here, and that is to prevent any individual, with a plural after that too in parentheses, corporations or corporation or other entity from acquiring or controlling excessive shares of the fishery access privileges.
Is there a second for that? David Pierce. Okay. Discussion. Terry Alexander.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I think we get at that with the next motion coming up. So, I mean, we can vote this up and then do the next motion, and then that part of the goal is gone. So I just don't understand why we need that in there. I will be supporting it, but I don't know why we need it.
David Pierce.
Yeah, I support the motion. It gets to where I want to go, and with regard to Terry's point, which is a good one, this is not just about excessive shares or excessive consolidation, let's say, permits. With specific allocations attached to those permits. It's about use. It's about how fish are moved around so that when all is said and done, who has acquired or controlled excessive shares of fishing privileges through direct allocation initially received and through leasing throughout the year. So while the motion that will be made later on that I will support it goes in the right direction, this, I believe, hits the target that we need to be shooting for. Use, as use privileges as well as privileges associated with initial allocation.
Dave Gaithel, then John Bullard, then Terry Alexander.
I support this. As I said before, I think the goals have to be specific. And it's not the permits, it's the fish. You know, you could have 5% of the permits, and you could have virtually nothing. You know, if you've got the wrong 5%, or you could have the right 5%, and you could have virtually everything. So it's the fish that matter. This gets at the issue that we've been trying to get at from day one in this process, and I think it has to be stated right up front. So I'm pleased with the motion to amend.
John Bullard.
Yeah, I'll support this, and I take Terry's point, but I look at this as this is in the goals, and that's an important place to put it. And the next motion, while I don't know whether the next motion carries or not, is a means to achieve a goal. So I'd support that, too, and I applaud the next motion on the way, but I think it's important to have this in a goal statement.
Terry Alexander.
Yeah, I guess I'm reading it different than like Dave or John is. I'm reading it like we're going to cap excessive permits, not use privileges. That's the way I read that goal. And that's why I said I'd be supporting it. I mean, it's the 80-20 rule still applies. 20% of the boats catch 80% of the fish. They always have, they always will. And, you know, if you're pumping, I don't care if you're pumping gas. You know, 20% of the gas stations pump 80% of the gas. I mean, it's just the way it is. So I don't know how. I am definitely not for individual going out and controlling how many fish an individual boat can catch, as long as he wants the least fish.
Peter Kendall.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with this motion to amend. I think it's cleaner than the substitute motion that we had voted down, along with the motions that will come after this. So I'm comfortable with voting this.
Doug Grab.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Terry's point I and to Dave's point, I think options that can be developed with this goal could either just be limiting the permits, or we could have a second option to limit the poundage of fish that someone could own. And that's what I'm trying to get at. We need to have both of those things analyzed, and I respect John Bullard's concern about having too many options in there, but this is crucial. This is critical to the survivorship of this industry, and we need to have that kind of analysis put in there to see what the effect of both of them are.
Tom Dempsey.
Yeah, I agree with what Peter said. I think this is cleaner, simpler, and I can support this. I think this makes sense, and hopefully we'll vote this up and move forward to actions that will help us support these goals.
Thank you. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the...
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Okay, a roll call vote.
Roll call vote has been requested. Please reply yes, no, or abstain. Mary Beth Tooley?
Yes.
Terry Stockwell?
Yes.
Laura Ramsden?
Yes.
John Quinn?
Yes.
Dave Preble?
Yes.
David Pierce?
Yes.
Matt McKenzie?
Yes.
Peter Kendall?
Yes.
Doug Grout?
Yes.
David Gaithel?
Yes.
Mark Gibson?
Yes.
Tom Dempsey?
Yes.
Rip Cunningham? Oh, excuse me. John Bullard?
Yes.
Going backwards this time is harder, huh?
Rookie mistake. Frank Blount?
Yes.
Vincent Balzano?
Yes.
Terry Alexander?
Yes.
Mark Alexander?
Yes.
The motion carries 17-0.
Okay, we're on to the main motion as amended. Doug Grau.
I heard the regional office and regional administrator express some concerns about the second goal in there as to whether we'd have to go out to scoping. And my question is it enough of a concern that it would be better to just eliminate that goal at this from consideration? Because I would hate to have to slow up this process, which we've been going at for at least 2 years in trying to get this amendment through. If that may mean we have to go out for scoping, even if it's just for a 30-day period.
I'm going to turn it over to the region if you have any further comments. I think the last time they said that the worst-case scenario would be a 30-day extension of the comment period. We wouldn't have to actually go out and hold scoping meetings, but I don't know if they've had further thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. We don't think that it would slow the amendment down at all, really. We solicit additional comment for 30 days and just proceed forward looking at those comments. But, you know, it shouldn't pull the process down at all if indeed we have to go out.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back on the main motion as amended. Further discussion? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? It's unanimous. Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification to the council, we're only going to bring one more committee motion forward related to the objectives. While the committee made four other motions, tasking motions, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them into the record right now, so and perhaps the chairman will ask the council to approve them without objection. And then we'll go to the last committee motion. And these were specifically tasking motions. And the first was to develop an option for a 5% permit ownership cap with the exception of permit banks. The second was to review the Northern Economics paper designing measures to limit accumulation of fishing privileges in the Northeast multi-fishery for the feasibility of recommended approaches. That refers to what Dr. Pierce was talking about. The third is to develop a regulatory definition of an accumulation cap for permit banks. The fourth is to assess and provide examples of U.S. solutions that provide access to capital for individuals, new entrants, sectors, and community entities.
I'm actually not going to ask for unanimous consent on this. These aren't motions. The council itself normally does not get involved in committee taskings to committee PDTs. I think this was for information purposes at this time, so I think we should move on to the next motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Second committee motion is to move to strike the existing Amendment 18 objectives to be consistent with a GAAP recommendation. This motion carried 4-3-0.
Committee motion, no second required. I'm going to go to the audience for any comments on this. Aaron.
Not trying to beat a dead horse here. Just curious to hear how you're reconciling the amended Amendment 18 objectives with the vote that you just had about making sure that you have dual options for accumulation limits, looking at both permits and looking at a cap on quota. When I was at the AP motion, I voted against changing the objectives, and that was primarily because of my concern that we're throwing out this option for accumulation caps on PSC. But I know that you as a council have addressed that again, so I just want to see how you're reconciling those two potentially competing suggestions. Thanks.
I'm going to make some comments on that, Aaron, but I'll wait and see what other comments we get from the audience. Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Smith with the Nature Conservancy here in Maine and a member of the Groundfish AP. My question is very similar to the one Aaron raised, so maybe I should have waited for you to clarify it, but I guess it's a two-part comment or question. One is, assuming that you're going to strike the existing Amendment 18 objectives and replace them with the objectives that were just approved in the motion that was just passed, so it would be the Groundfish AP recommendations and the addition of the language on accumulation limits that just came up in the amended motion. So I'm assuming that that's what this motion would do. If that's not what it would do, I think that's what it should do, and maybe in a motion to amend would be useful there. And then the second question had to do with the tasking of what the committee was asking the PDT to do, and the maker of the last motion to amend was interested in seeing accumulation limits developed that would look at both capping permits and quota ownership. And when Terry mentioned the tasking, it looked like the only cap that the PDT was being asked to develop is one on permit ownership. So I'm just curious of whether that is consistent with the last motion that was passed, and perhaps the tasking to the PDT should include a cap on both permits and on quota ownership if it's going to be consistent with the last motion that was just passed. So sorry to be all over the place a little bit, but just trying to, as Aaron was saying, reconcile the last motion that just passed and what this one would do and what the PDT is going to be asked to do. Thanks.
I'll address your last one first. The second item that was tasked to the PDT was to review the Northern Economics paper, and part of that would be designing measures to limit accumulation of fishing privileges in the Northeast multi-species fisheries. And that is nonspecific as to what kind of things that they can look at. So there should be a broad spectrum of those issues, and it should cover what Doug was concerned about. As far as the first question, interestingly enough, Tom asked me that too, whether there was conflict, and I'm going to turn it over to Rachel to see if she can answer that. My initial reaction, and I may have it incorrectly, was that we essentially, in the amended motion, took the AP's recommendation. We enhanced that with some additional items in the thing. We didn't totally change that. So the objectives that came from the AP should have worked with that as well. But Rachel, will you explain it better than I did?
Yeah, and just to clarify, I'm just going to read again the existing objectives because they're not up on the screen, and I was asked to read them for your clarity. One, to consider the establishment of accumulation caps for the groundfish fishery, and two, to consider issues associated with fleet diversity in the multi-species fishery. So when the GAP was making their recommendations, their intent was to strike both the existing goals and objectives and to replace them with just one set of goals, and not to have a two-tiered, two levels of these statements, but just one level. When the committee was reconsidering this, it seemed that some on the committee had that same vision of just having one tier of just goals, and others thought that the objectives were still going to be existing. So we needed this second motion to specifically strike those objectives. Regarding the PDT tasking, the motion about the 5% cap on permits, that was put forward because that was similar to what exists in the scallop fishery currently. So the idea was to can we replicate something that's in the scallop fishery? And then this other motion about the Northern Economics Report asks us to look at more broadly other arrangements for caps.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Tom Dempsey.
Yeah, I'll apologize for this. I left off and objectives in the original motion at the committee, and we came back. Dr. Pierce identified that the objectives, absent that language in the original motion, from his view, were still in place. So this just clarifies and cleans up what the AP was trying to do and what actually I was trying to do with the original motion at the committee level. So that's why it's slightly confusing, looks a little bit out of order, but voting this up will leave us with the goals that we just identified as with a pretty strong vote.
Further discussion of the council. Dave Gaethel.
Well, I think the question, and you can see it in the committee discussion, is do you need to consider the original objectives as well? And the original objectives, to me, are broader in that they allow you to examine more than just permits. Because it says to consider the establishment of accumulation caps for the groundfish fishery. That could be accumulation of fish. It could be accumulation of permits. It could be accumulation of leased fish. It could be a lot of things. Without that, to me, you're limited. And so I think a number of motions were tried to specify more what other things could be looked at. They all failed. I'm happier now than I was when I left the Groundfish Committee with the goals that we have, but I still think we need objectives as well. So I'll wait to hear what others have to say.
Further discussion? Peter Kendall.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up, Rachel, because we did at the committee meeting go back and forth. This came up at the end, and I'm comfortable with voting this through after what we had just voted, the last motion we just voted through with the amendments to it. So I'm comfortable with this.
Anyone else? Call a question. All those in favor of the motion? Opposed? 2. 15-2-0. The motion carries. Terry.
The final motion is not a committee motion, and it follows Jamie's presentation. And I move to initiate Framework 51.
Is there a second to that? Terry Alexander. Discussion. Call the court. David Pierce.
Yeah, just a clarification. Move to initiate Framework 51. We're not going to cite through this motion the specifics of Framework 51, what we're trying to accomplish, or are we? I asked the question because in the presentation that was provided, we had three things that we need to do because they're regulatory requirements. And then there are six additional possibilities. So is the maker of the motion saying that Framework 51 would have the regulatory requirements as well as the additional possibilities described for us earlier?
Yeah, thank you, David. My lack of specificity was because I wasn't sure what the final motions are going to be today. There are a number of priorities that we identified in the fall that are going to be addressed in this framework, including the specs. So, I'm projecting that the PDT is going to continue to work off this, this work list that they have there, and we'll address it at an upcoming committee meeting and a September council meeting.
Further comments? Call the question. All those in favor? Seventeen zero zero. The motion carries. Terry.
That concludes the business of the Groundfish Committee.
Terry Alexander.
The other day, after we exempted the permit banks, and then Jamie gave us her thoughts on exempting the permit banks from the caps. I thought about it all the way home, and I thought, I think we really screwed up by exempting the permit banks from any type of cap. So I'm not sure if we could just do a consensus thing to have them analyze the permit banks, or I have a motion prepared if the chair would honor it to have them analyze that.
Rachel.
The motion that was passed at the committee says to task the PDT to develop regulatory definition for permit banks as well as alternatives to establish appropriate permit caps for permit banks commensurate with their value in protecting diverse fishery access and supporting the goals of this amendment. So I think that's covered there.
Jamie.
Just to follow up on what Terry said, my comment at the meeting was, do you intend an aggregate permit bank, or however permit banks get defined, cap, or an individual cap on what gets defined as a permit bank? Because you can imagine a scenario if, let's say, there's 10 permit banks that are defined as permit banks, and if there's a cap of 10%, where all of those permit banks could hold all the permits. So my comment to Terry was, do you intend on an aggregate cap of what will ultimately be defined as a permit bank, or is it an individual? And I think that's what caused him to think about it all the way home.
Do you think that's correct now?
I do think that's correct, and I think that the motion that we passed is way too wishy-washy. And I think we need a firm, I'd like to hear some debate on a number, a percentage of what the council and the public would like to see placed in the permit banks. Maybe that's for a different meeting, but, today we're kind of pucking up here, but, maybe it's for a different meeting.
Yeah, I mean, my suggestion was that I think there is already an intent at the PDT level to look at this, but to make it clear that we want some alternatives, and that this issue should be remanded to the Groundfish Committee for resolution as soon as possible. Doug Grout.
If we're through with that issue, I have another motion that I'd like to bring up relating to Amendment 18. As people are aware, I've been a supporter of the smallest of the small groundfish fishermen in this fleet, the hand gear folks. And they had put together a proposal for inclusion within Amendment 18, and then they actually went back and revised it and made a little bit more succinct and more refined. So just to make sure that these little guys don't get forgotten in our attempt to assure that there's a diverse fleet, I have a motion to task the Groundfish Committee to have the Groundfish Committee include the Northeast Hook Fishermen's Association revised proposal as outlined in their April 7, 2013 letter to the Council in Amendment 18 for analysis.
Well, you know, April 7th was my 50th birthday.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, Doug, I will second it, but I will do so with having, if you're friendly with the idea of having the concept.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's fine. Having the concept. Thank you.
Terry, where would you like that? I just want to make sure we have it outlined in the...
Before Northeast?
To include the concept. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so motions made and seconded. Discussion. David Pierce.
Yes, it's been a long time since I've seen that letter. Could you briefly explain what the concept is?
The big concept is to have the Hangar A personal sector contributions, or PSCs, broken out, their allocation that they got from the common pool, just like we took a portion of the allocation and gave it to the recreational fishery, and they're looking specifically at cod.
Further comment? We go to the audience. Any comment on this? Dave Gatham.
Yeah, the letter's in the binder. What exactly does supporting the concept mean? Because there's some of the concepts in here that I don't support at all. So, I mean, if it's just to have the committee take a general look at it and say, you know, what do you think? Or is it, you know, that we're actually, by voting for this, supporting some of the things in here, which are like exemptions from the roll enclosures and whatnot, that I don't support. So I just wanted a little clarification from the maker and the seconder.
Doug?
Yeah, my whole purpose here was to make sure that the Ground Fish Committee looked at it and hopefully included some or all of their proposals in there. But I understand that there may be some things that some people may object to, but I would like to have that analyzed. At the very least, this has to be thoroughly considered by both the Ground Fish Committee and the Council.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, David, I share your concerns, but this group has been trying to get the committee and the Council to take a look at the hook gear fishery, the hand gear fishery, for a while, and I think this is a way to ensure an analysis of the request and move it through our process.
Tom Davidson.
Yeah, based on some of the comments made there and Dave's specifically, as a friendly, I'd offer just to add the word to have the, you know, the Ground Fish Committee consider including the concept. That way we'll, you know, I think a lot of us are not as up to date on everything in here. So we'll have the committee discuss it, put it on the agenda, consider it, and then all or some of these concepts can be furthered by the committee and brought back to the council. So as a friendly, maybe just include that word.
Does maker agree?
Yeah, that's fine.
Seconder?
That's good.
Frank Blount.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important that we look at this concept. If you go back to Amendment 7, we lost the majority of the hook fishermen because of the way they were permitted. Almost every hook fisherman in southern New England didn't qualify because they had a limited access day at sea permit, and they had to qualify at a much higher pound rating than what you had to qualify if you had the hook permit. So we lost probably 90% of the true hook fishermen with Amendment 7. We got a few people left. It'd be nice if we can keep them in the fishery.
Further comment? Call a question. All those in favor? Seventeen-zero-zero. The motion carries. Anything else under groundfish? Maggie.
Just a question about the motions about accumulation caps that were passed by the committee that were not discussed. It was clarified that there is a motion regarding a cap on permit banks, but that motion doesn't mention anything about grandfathering current levels or being subject to the control date, whereas individuals, fishermen, would be. So I just want to clarify that would also be those aspects would also be considered for ownership caps on permit banks.
I don't think there's any reason why that wouldn't be considered in the PDT analysis when they're looking at it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Maine. Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one Amendment 18 issue that may be relevant. The other night at the workshop, the sector, the organizations representing the sectors on policy had mentioned as a recommendation, I think it was the last one there, that the discussion of allocation causes uncertainty in the fishery, but at the same time, the coalition's put forward many times a memo saying that we didn't want to see Amendment 18 result in an inadvertent or, in, you know, on purpose conversion into a LAP. We do not have a LAP now, and I don't think there's any precedent as whether successive management changes could actually result in a LAP, even though it didn't start out that way. And the recommendation was, and this would give plenty of notice to the fish, to the fishery, is that unless and until the industry comes forward and petitions the council and asks from the ground up for a LAP, that could happen. But we're saying we don't want to have Amendment 18 kick off without, I think, managers knowing up front that the result would not be a permanent allocation that requires a lot of things that are not in the current Amendment 16 allocation. So I think that's important. That's been one of the big fears that NSC had about this, is that we didn't use Amendment 18 to backfill Amendment 16 into a LAP under Magnuson. And I don't, at this point, we're ready to launch forward on the amendment, and I think it's important. It still hasn't been addressed, you know, openly. We have mentioned it at the mic, and we've submitted it many times in our public comments, but I do feel it's something that the council needs to at least put on record, that the intention of this is not to result in a LAP, that a LAP would start from scratch, and this is not a LAP amendment, and this is not going to turn Amendment 16 allocations into a LAP. It's a very important legal issue. It's important to all of our members, and the workshop recommendations show that all of the people that are involved in sectors right now are concerned about that. So, I don't think it would take a long discussion, but at least if the council acknowledges that that's not the intent of Amendment 18, it would relieve a lot of fears and make it a lot easier to participate in the process going forward.
Since that's a legal issue, I'm going to ask Gene if he has any comments and whether Amendment 18 has that potential to do what there is concern about, and secondly, whether if we actually passed a motion saying the intent of Amendment 18 is not to cause a LAP, whether that in fact would have any influence on the outcome if for some reason we somehow stepped over a line.
Well, in answer to the first question, I don't see anything yet. I mean, Amendment 18 is still in development that would cause a reconsideration as to whether the changes caused by Amendment 18 would convert the current management system into a LAP system. I mean, that's based on my preliminary view of where the amendment is at this point in time. In answer to your second question, there's again no legal reason why you can't adopt such a motion to express council intent to help guide in the development of Amendment 18, so that if measures do start crossing over a line that may raise questions of whether they would require a LAP decision and a LAP process, then that could be helpful.
I was actually asking the question in reverse, which was, if we pass the motion, and then inadvertently step over that line, the motion doesn't really protect us from it, correct?
Right. In and of itself, it wouldn't be a defense that you didn't cross over the line. But it could help, if there are ambiguities or questions, it could help someone decide whether, in fact, a lap was intended or not.
Counsel?
Mr. Chairman, I just would, you know, the way Gene described that, I think, is exactly right, and I think it reinforces our fears, and he's right on, is that because it's not explicit, it doesn't mean we couldn't accidentally back into that. And I think if the council states it up front, then we can constantly be reminded, hey, you've got an objective or a goal or whatever you want to call it, that's right up front, that's not the intent of Amendment 18. So when we start to flirt with that line, we know that that's something that we didn't set out to do. If it's not stated, then we could slip down that slope, and we're going to constantly come to the mic and say, is this lap, is it not? Well, I think it's important that somewhere on the record we talk about that's not the intended result of Amendment 18.
Dave Gaethel.
If we had such a motion, would then the Groundfish Committee, for example, get advice from legal counsel if they were approaching that line with any action they were going to bring forward?
Yeah, I think it would be incumbent upon legal counsel to state that whether or not you have the motion. This just puts it, it's just a more explicit reminder if someone chooses to put forward such a motion.
Dave Gaethel.
I think with that said, that would be the prudent thing to do so that everybody's aware of it. With that said, I'll make a motion that an objective of Amendment 18 is not to backfill Amendment 16 into a lap.
Is there a second to that motion? Laura Ramsden. Discussion. Doug Grout.
I'd just like to ask the maker of the motion and the seconder if they might be willing to say that the intent, because the objective has some different meanings, than an intent of amendment.
That's fine with me. I thought objective was, you know, a specific thing that you were doing, but intent is fine as well.
Laura? Okay. Further discussion, David Pierce.
Just a question for the maker of the motion and for those who are so concerned about suddenly having a lap. What would have to occur in Amendment 18 to make this a lap? There's a lot in Magnuson that defines a lap, and I'm sure most people around this table don't recall the specifics and don't clearly understand the nature of this concern. So what's the fear? You know, why? What would make what we do through Amendment 18, what would create a lap? What has to be done?
Well, anything that turns PSC into an IFQ is an example. Anything that right now this council can move PSC around however it sees fit, despite what a lot of people who own permits think. But if, for example, you slide down a road where you start to compartmentalize that fish in such ways that you are basically assigning quota now to individual vessels, or saying an individual vessel cannot own more than X percent of a quota, not control more than X percent of a PSC. That's a very different thing. So it may be language, it may be semantics, but I think it's pretty important. I mean, you know, as we all know, a lap requires a lot of things, specifically a referenda. And I think there's a fear on the part of a lot of people that this is a way to reopen the allocation debate without reopening the allocation debate. And, you know, as much as I'd like to see the reallocation debate reopened, I don't think this is the appropriate mechanism. I think the appropriate mechanism for a LAP is clean and simple. We're going to have a LAP. We're going to turn this into an ITQ fishery, get rid of sectors, and start down that road and you know, re-examine the whole issue of fish at that time.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman, it's the... I think we all know that we have ITQs now, that in a way, quota are, the ITQ has been created by laundering quota through sectors to create individual allocations, and that's clear to me. It's clear to many fishermen. They know it's an ITQ, an illegal ITQ. I mean, yesterday we got a presentation at the workshop regarding how sectors do their business, and quite often it was mentioned that individuals are transferring quota between themselves. So come on. I'm never going to back off of that position, that because of timetables, because of requirements, we adopted a de facto ITQ system that is disguised as sector management. So the motion to me has very little, well, I'll vote against it only because I think we've got one now.
Anyone else? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? Sixteen opposed. One. 16-1-0. The motion carries. Anything else under groundfish? Okay. Dave, do you think you can get the coral issue done? Okay, good. We're going to move into the um